Good afternoon and welcome to It Is Possible Tuesdays with Sanya from Stokey. I'm really happy to have you with us today. It's the 11th of August. It's a hot day. It's a beautiful day, lots of sunshine, and it's a brand new day. So we're here today, and my focus for this afternoon is what is possible with you. So It Is Possible Tuesdays is focusing on what is possible with you. And we're going to have a talk about some of the things that you can do and some of the things that other people can't do and how you can have an impact on those persons. We're going to talk about things that might involve language. We'll talk about things that might involve technology. We're going to have a wonderful talk this afternoon, and I hope that you will be happy to share some ideas or raise some questions for us to think about, possibly do some research on, but I hope we'll be able to have a talk. I don't know how many of you remember a song which says, "What can you do, Punchinella, little fella?" Anybody here remembers that song? Yes, okay. Sister Hyacinth says she remembers that song. Anybody else? Give me a thumbs up or a hand wave or something. What can you do, Punchinella, little fella? Anybody? So I have one person. Sister Hyacinth, okay. Claire remembers as well. But the key thing about that is the song says, "What can you do, Punchinella, little fella? We can do it too, Punchinella, little fella." Hello, Sharon. Welcome. And it's important for us to think about the fact that if there's something that we can do, usually it's because somebody has shown it to us first, or we have gone about to find out how it can be done, or we have tried it on our own and made mistakes and realized how not to do it so that we can realize how to do it. But usually it involves some sort of trial and error, some sort of showing, some sort of demonstrating. I would like someone here to tell me, how easy is it for you to use, welcome Antipat, how easy is it for you to use your fingers without your thumb? Anybody? How easy is it to use your fingers without your thumb? If you were to pick up a pencil, would you be able to pick it up without using your thumb? If you were to be able to pick up a battery, would you be able to do it without using your thumb? Anyone? I have a battery in my hand. Am I likely to be able to pick this battery up without using my thumb? If it were on the table or on a flat surface, what do you think? Am I able to pick it up? Can you see? No, you're not. Would I be able to pick it up if it's lying vertically with just with two fingers? Not including my thumb. What do you think? Claire, you're saying you don't know how easy or difficult it would be because you've never had to do it before. Okay, what I'd like you to do right now, if you have something in front of you, I'd like you to try to take it up without using your thumb. Anything in front of you, your plate, your glass, your fork, your phone, don't use your thumb. Welcome, Jennifer. I don't want you to use your thumb. I want you to use your fingers. Hi, Jennifer. Oh, no, she hasn't joined us as yet. Good question, Claire. Is it the thumb that does it, or is it the brain that tells the thumb? Well, the brain can tell the thumb, but the thumb may not respond to the brain. But we still need the mechanics of the thumb. But I still need you to try and let me know. Antipat, have you tried it? Yes, Claire can't hear you. Could you speak a little louder for me?
I've tried.
Okay, Sharon, you tried. Was it easy?
I picked up my remote using my thumb.
You did. How did you, what did you use? Can you show
my
me, Sharon?
My fingers and the palm of my hand.
No, no. I don't want you to use the palm of your hand. Only your fingers.
Oh.
Under your fingers. Only four fingers. You can use your, any of the four fingers. All four fingers, but not the thumb.
Okay. Tanya, which fingers are you using? It depends upon the object. If it's
how
a very thin one.
I did it.
Doesn't mean I... I can't take the
all right.
Like
Antipas said she did
but
it with
of
two
course,
fingers.
Very light. So
all right.
A finger.
Okay. Now let me ask
but
you.
But if you have a big object or heavy object, like a television control,
yeah,
that might be difficult, isn't it? Because if you put your fingers down like that to pick it up.
Okay.
You might be able to do it, but it's probably very difficult.
Now, the point I want us to look at is that it's not... Who is... Jennifer, let me see what you just did. You picked up your glass, the wine glass. Fantastic. Now, did you have to do a little bit of maneuvering, or did it just come naturally? Unmute yourself, Jennifer.
Naturally.
Oh, wow. That's good.
I just picked it up.
All right, good. For most people, Antipat, did you have to do some maneuvering to get your remote in your hand?
No, it was quite easy. I just did it with these two fingers.
Did you think about it, or you just, the minute I said it, you knew what to do?
I thought about it, and then I did it.
Okay. Now, the reason I asked you that question, or why I asked everybody to try it, is because with persons who have disabilities, they have to actually go through steps to get to do what we take for something that's natural or something that happens easily. Okay? In the morning, or let us say, when you have to write, you take your pencil or your pen, you put it in the correct positioning, and you write. For somebody who has a disability with their hands, they have to be taken through the different steps so that they can hold the pen or pencil or the writing implement in their hand and then move it. They may even have to think about getting a different size of the writing tool. Does anybody remember when their children were learning to write? Did they start writing with a pencil first, or did they have big chunky crayons using? Anybody? Did your children start writing with pencils first?
Crayons.
With crayons.
Crayons.
And why did they use crayons? What was the rationale for that?
It was easier for them to grasp and use their motor skills.
Fantastic. And so with persons who have disabilities, they have to go from baby stage, step by step in many instances. Our focus today is what is possible with you. And I am putting something in your space today. I would like everybody here to make a concerted effort to be a possibility champion for somebody. What do I mean by a possibility champion? Any ideas? What could I possibly mean by a possibility champion? I can see that you're thinking, and so I'm not going to rush you. But I do want you to share your thoughts with me. Possibility champion. What could that involve? Lisa, if you think of being a possibility champion, what are you thinking of?
Sonia.
Sharon.
Sonia.
Yes, Sharon.
I could I could not hear you. My tablet was not working, so I'm on my phone now.
Okay, no problem.
I did not hear what you were saying.
So I'm asking, I would like each person on today's panel to become a possibility champion. And I'm saying, what do you think that involves? Being a possibility champion.
Is that trying something new?
Trying something new, okay.
That you probably think would be impossible to do, and then I'll actually master it.
Okay, so that's one avenue. Trying something new that you've never done before and then mastering it, yes. That's a possibility, yes. Anything else? Our focus is, it is possible. What is possible with you? And I'm saying, I would like you to become a possibility champion.
Have the potential to do something and get on with it.
Have the potential to do something and get on with it. All right. I have somebody else who is saying, a strong supporter of someone with a disability, supporting the sense of helping to make their lives easier, perhaps helping them to understand, even though they have a disability, they can. Yes. That's another view. Anybody else? All the responses I received are correct, pertinent. The one that I want you to focus on is championing the cause of somebody who has a disability. Being there, standing in the gap for that person. And that can take a number of shapes and forms. One of them is, well, let me ask you, what do you think? If you were to be a disability champion for any person with a disability, who would you be willing to champion, and how would you champion? How would you be a champion for them?
Maybe helping them with things that they struggle with generally.
Thank you, Lisa. Helping them with things that they struggle with usually. Could you give me an example? Because I want us to be very this evening. I want us to think about how we can really do these things.
So it could, for example, it could be helping with shopping. It could be helping with if they, things, you know, it could be things like the little things that we take for granted, like pedicures and manicures, and you know what I mean, if it's female related, and kind of like sort of just kind of maybe helping them with stuff like that.
So helping them with stuff like that, mani-pedi, going, doing the shopping, is it that you would do the job for them? Jennifer's shaking her head and saying no.
you would encourage them to do, you know, do what they can, but you would be there to support them.
Yeah.
So you're going to be there to support them. I like that. Your presence, your actively being with them is important for you to support them. It is important for you to be a champion for them. Sister Hyacinth, you wanted to say something?
No, actually, no, that's what I was saying. She said it, it's all right.
Okay, fantastic. Now, there is I am a champion for disability, but I think most people know that I have a real soft spot for persons who have no hearing. And so I am a champion for British Sign Language. And I believe that somebody wanted to say something?
Sonia, I was just thinking, about because sometimes it's confidence to some people, building the confidence, just helping to build the confidence based on what Claire was saying as well, isn't it?
Building their self-confidence, yes, that is so true. Building self-confidence.
And self-assurance.
Yep. So working on their self-confidence is something that a champion could do as well. But also ensuring that you can communicate with them is important. Ensuring that you can build a relationship with them is important. And I believe that everybody should become a user of sign language. I believe that everybody should be able to spell their names, have some basic sign language signs to use on a regular basis. But there are other things that can be done by all of us without any sort of specialism, without any expertise or any skill. I am thinking here, if someone has a wheel, if someone needs to move around, they have no movement in their leg, their lower legs. What's a basic thing that that person could need? Someone who has no functionality in their legs, their lower legs.
Well, they'll need some form, whether it's a wheelchair or the what's the thing called? The things that you put under the arm or a stick or something.
Okay,
that's going to support the upper
or
body.
Wheelchairs, yes.
Yeah, crutches.
Crutches or wheelchairs, yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Jennifer, you were saying something, but I'm not hearing you.
I was just saying they can use a wheelchair. That's
wheelchair.
That was it.
All right,
yeah.
Wheelchair, thank you. I want to share some information with you. I'm going to share my screen, and I'm hoping that it will come up at the right place today. So let me share. Let me go to sharing my screen, and I hope you'll be able to see, yes, the information that I want you to see. So the World Health Organization has this out a statement that not many people who need things such as wheelchairs are able to access them. Now, why do you think it is a problem in accessing wheelchairs for some people? Anybody?
Where they're living, I suppose, and the accessibility.
I'm not hearing. Is that Sister Hyacinth?
Yeah. No, I'm just saying it depends on probably where someone lives and the accessibility and basic type of wheelchair has to be adaptable. I don't know if it's all wheelchairs that can close and open. I don't know. I'm just talking top of my head here.
That is it. It has to do with accessibility. 1 in 10 persons can afford wheelchairs or what we call assistive technology. And the World Health Organization had decided to coordinate with, what they call this program, the Global Cooperation on Assistive Technology, to ensure that people have access to high quality, affordable assistive technology. Now, when we think of assistive technology, do we know what assistive technology is?
No.
Give me a thumbs up if you do. Welcome, Helena.
Tell me.
Okay. All right, I haven't seen a hand up or anything from anybody, so I'm going to assume that we don't know. So on the screen, I have some information about assistive technology. It says that it looks at, when we think of assistive technology, an easy way to look at it would be to say assistive technology is any technology that assists somebody who needs it. That's as simple as you can get. Assistive technology could mean having a pencil with a rubber attached to it so that a student is able to hold it at the correct position for them to write legibly or to form their letters with the right space. Assistive technology could be something like having a slope board. A board that slopes, so instead of writing flat down, a student writes at an angle because it's easier for them to form their letters and to press on a hard surface. Assistive technology can also be hearing aids.
Mm-hmm.
assistive technology may also be having a magnifying glass or having very thick lenses in your glasses. But it's any bit of any product that assists someone with a disability to ensure that they can function in an independent way or as independently as they can. Okay, and what this sister has been touched on this earlier about confidence, but closely aligned to confidence is your well-being. And if you have something that ensures that you can do something, then it helps you to feel good about yourself. It helps you to be less negative or pessimistic in your outlook on life. Now, the research has shown that more than 1 billion people need one or more assistive products. But not everybody has access to this. And it can be because of socioeconomic situations, or it can be because of their geography, their location. It can be they don't have the type of technology in that region, a whole range of things, as well as it can also be ignorance. What do I mean by ignorance? Can you talk with me this evening? What do you think I mean by ignorance?
What was the question? What?
So I'm saying the reason a lot of people don't have access to assistive technology could be location and cost, but also ignorance.
Because they don't know that it is available to them.
Know that it is available, that's correct, and they don't know that it is available to them. So availability on two counts, available to them and available. They don't know that it actually exists, okay? So how many persons, last week, Josanne spoke about wanting to take some of her clients to the cinema. And what was the problem? Anybody remembers?
Yes,
there's a problem that she highlighted.
Wheelchair, getting them there and to get them actually out of the transport into the organization.
Exactly.
Things that we've taken for granted.
Couldn't put the wheelchair into the transportation, and the location didn't have a space for the wheelchairs and things like that. Has anybody ever taken somebody with a disability to the beach?
No.
How easy is that to happen?
Not easy.
Not easy. I remember a couple of years ago while I lived in Jamaica, I had a very good friend of my grandmother who had a walker. She had an amputation below her knee, and she was in her 70s. And I wanted to take them to the beach. And what I had to do was simply take her in the car, but then I had to lift her, physically lift her, and take her to the beach, put her on the sand, and that was it. But I couldn't take her walker with her because the terrain was uneven, okay? So she wouldn't have been able to maneuver it. But I recently saw an item which I thought was fantastic. And I'm hoping that I can show it to you now. Oops. I'm hoping I can show it to you. Let's see if I can show you. No, I'm going in the wrong direction. Ah, here it is. Has anybody ever seen one of these before? It's a beach wheelchair.
I'm not seeing it. What is it now?
It's a beach wheelchair. Do you notice the wheels? It's quite the perfect thing for the beach. It can go into the water, okay, and it can deal with the terrain. It's kind of sturdy, kind of rough and ready, but it would definitely allow members of the of your congregation who have a disability in terms of mobility to access the beach and to be involved in the regular things of life.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Now, could anybody give me a guess at what you think this might cost?
Couple of grand.
A grand? Not correct.
About five.
5 grand or 500?
About 5 grand. Disability items are very expensive.
Yes, they are. In actual fact, this was 2,800 and and something. So, as you can expect, how many persons who actually need a wheelchair would be able to have this wheelchair, or would be able to have a wheelchair that can be adapted?
It's kind of sad, isn't it? It's kind of sad because the disadvantage twice or three times over, isn't it?
Yes. So you are marginalized again. You know, you have you're not able to move about, and whatever is available, you may not be able to afford it. Now, a disability champion, I'm not asking you to go out and purchase wheelchairs. No, but I want us to put our thinking caps on. And I would like you, when we come back after our break, I'd like you to have one idea of how you could champion a disability. What is it that you could do which would not involve money? Okay, so I'm not asking anyone to go into their pockets or anything, but I want you to come up with an idea that you'll share with us. How can you be a disability champion without the use of money? All right, so I need you to come up with that. It is possible Tuesday session with Sanya. We're going to take our usual 2-minute break, and when we come back, we'll continue with how practical ways that you can be a disability or a possibility champion for someone. So at this time,
okay, Sanya,
we'll come back in 2 minutes. All right, I see you.
Okay, I will be back on the other half, so I'll see you next week, okay?
All right, take care.
Bye, everyone. Bye.
Thank you. It's Possible Tuesday returns in 2 minutes. Thank you for being with us, and I'll see you
okay,
in
sweetie.
2 minutes' time.
Yep, thank you. Bye.
Thank you.